Well, good morning, everybody. How we doing? I know if you're like me, you've been watching the TV pretty close, trying to figure out, and hopefully, as Dusty prayed, that thing will try to go that way somewhere, talking about the storm. John, could we get that artwork up there to begin with? Yeah. I don't know who painted that. I should have looked it up. But Dusty and Rick and Dane have started it about spiritual warfare. So I thought trying to stay within the same theme. But I think this is a depiction of back when the angel, and remember, what we call the devil today started out as an angel in heaven. But guess what? He was a creation of God. So when I talk today, I hope, one, that I don't say anything that's not right, because I don't know everything. I have to be very careful and tread lightly. But he had some henchmen went along with him. Devil's problem was he wanted to be like God. In fact, he wanted to be as strong as God, what have you. So when he got kicked out and sent down here, if y'all remember, one of the attributes of, and I'm going to keep saying devil, was he's the father of what? Lies. And this sticks in my mind. What was one of the greatest lies he ever told, and when? Well, I know he's had a lot of them, but say one of the first ones. What did he tell Eve? Exactly. And then the other lie that really should have, remember God told them that, one, he didn't want them to eat of that fruit. And the other one, if they did, they'd die. But the devil told them, thou will not surely die. So that's when she got the fruit and she ate it. And then she wanted to share it because it was so good. But this, I'm pretty sure, was a depiction of the battle up when he was being thrown out of heaven. A lot of people think, because of science and physics and what have you, God representing the greater good and the devil representing evil itself, they're equal. No, not even close. And that's part of what I want to mention this morning. And you're going to see it as I normally do. Because, and it's not age, it's the way I do. We're going to ramble a little bit. But John, if you'll put that next slide up. Now, we already know from Dusty and Rick and Dane, they tell us that we're in a spiritual battle. And somebody put this up here. By the way, remember I told you I'm not all that smart, but I do know how to Google. I can copy and paste and what have you. But it's whether we like it or not, we're in that battle. And I know a lot of times we tend to forget that we're in the battle. Sometimes we live our lives like there isn't any battle. But I think the reason the pastors are doing this study is we need to be aware that we are in the battle. And John, go to the next one there. Now, here again, this is not my brilliance. This is Google. It says, often we think we lead ordinary, simple lives that no one would care about. We go to work, come home, eat and sleep. Our faces will never be on the cover of Time magazine, and our obituary will probably be very short. Little do we know that there is actually a war going on right now for our very soul. Sometimes people think that my humdrum life is so simple, so whatever. They have, one, low self-esteem, but the other thing is they don't put the importance on themselves. The devil loves you. Not that way, because it's one of the things I'm going to bring out. He don't love you. He wants you to think this. Some of the most simple everyday living people were involved in God's work. We should have seen that in God's Word. And it should mean something to us in that we might think that we cannot do so and so or what have you. But the only reason we're important to the devil is because he wants something from us to hinder things that we might do for God. And I come up with this little thing. Things pop up here sometimes and they get me in trouble out at Walmart. I have to be careful. My illustration could hurt me. We were up the country yesterday and rather than go to Bass Pro Shop, I figured my grandson-in-law, I don't consider him in-laws, I consider him my grandson. I said, Ben, have you got a big hook? He said, I got a big hook. Well, I said, that's what I want. And I got to thinking, that's a good illustration. Now, I can't think of anything else that I had. And I, for one, I don't see very many of these, let alone anything bigger. Now, to some people, hide the string. The devil's out there, you want this? You want this. Now, to this, to some particular person, will mean everything. Some person, it will mean less. So we're tempted for this because he's hidden that. When you go to get this, you get on this. Just like we fish with the hook. How do we bait the hook? We bait it for what the fish want. The devil in this warfare. What would the hook represent? Compromise, it could be. He's out there fishing for you. He might want you to compromise your spiritual life, your representation of Christ. There's consequences to what? Sin. But he's out there. Now, see, like a fish, fish don't look at this. He don't look at this. He looks at what's on there. Now, sometimes the bait hides the hook. Now, those are fish with plastic worms or something. Sometimes, and I don't want to mess up this thing that I got to hold on to for a while. But sometimes, see, it's like through there, and you can actually see the barbs. In our everyday walks of life, people, we can even see the barb. We can't claim that we don't know that there's something there that we shouldn't be doing. And we still go for the bait. What it says up there, we don't think that we're important, but we're everything to God. I don't care how simple our lives may be or what we're doing. We're very important to God. John, go to that second one. It says, then war broke out in heaven. And this thing, I think, goes back to that artwork. Michael and his angels battled against the dragon, dragon being the devil. The dragon and his angels fought back, but they did not prevail, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. The huge dragon, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, who delivered the whole world, was thrown down to earth, and its angels were thrown down with it. Let's go to the next one. We may not notice unusual things happening in our day-to-day life, but we can be sure of one thing. Satan is doing all he can to take us away from following God's commandments and from bearing witness to Jesus Christ in the world. This is why we must always be on guard to fight the good fight. In fact, not only does our eternal life depend upon it, but also the eternal life of our family and the fate of all humanity. If you think about it, when the devil got tossed out, he's wanting to do everything he can, like I've mentioned before, to get you to compromise your faith. He's wanting you not to stand up for God. But I slipped when I said something about the devil loving you. The devil doesn't love us. All the devil wants is what he can get out of us to deter and to help him in his struggle on this earth. My old saying is, whatever happens, I read the last chapter. I skipped ahead. I don't know everything I should know between the beginning and the end, but I know what was important up here, and I know in the end, we win. But see, that's not the end of it. We want other people to be on the winning team. We don't want somebody to not go to heaven because of our slip. If we see the hook and we don't stop somebody else from taking the bait, I don't want to be that somebody. I don't want to ever have it said that I'm responsible for somebody falling away from God. If it never mattered but to one person that I made a difference in their life, that would be a great positive. But I just can't imagine living with the notion that I caused one person to slip. The whole battle about spirituality, it's well hidden. Do you think that everybody is aware of the battle? Sometimes I think we get caught up in our lives and it slips our mind. John, go to the next slide if you would. Whoever wrote this, it wasn't me. I'm not that good. It says a spiritual battle went in within us. So we don't even think about this. We're talking about spiritual battle in the world. But it says, for some of us, the hardest battles of spiritual warfare are fought within ourselves. We can understand the circumstances and situations the enemy uses to destroy us. We can accept the truth of how the world lures and tempts us. We can understand to some degree that the battle in the spiritual realm is ongoing and real, even though we cannot see it. But to get a grasp on what's going on within our own hearts and minds can be the hardest, most exhausting battle of them all. You got to remember, we might forget it. And there is never a lull in this battle. We may not see, we might think that there's a lull, but the devil is ever vigilant. And one of my favorite scriptures is on that paper I handed out, plus it's in one of these slides, is the fact, 1 Peter 5:8, when it tells us, be sober, be vigilant. The devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Remember, the devil's not after your soul because he loves you. He's after your soul because he don't want God to have you. The other thing I want to bring out this, go to the next slide, John. And I'm not keeping up on my paper here where I can know where I'm at. Somebody's got this definition of authority. Where does it come from? We used to think that, I say we, maybe it's just me. Some people think that, like I said before, the devil's on an equal power-wise with God. What do you think? Is he equal in power? You remember that study of Job that we had a short while back that Rick brought? Everything that the devil did to Job was how? God's permission. He couldn't do anything to Job that God did not allow him to do. Not nothing. God limited what he could do. When I say this, talking about the power thing here, what have you, don't, just like they keep telling us about that storm down there, if it shows it going offshore and skimming down through here and maybe we don't get much out of it, we don't know that. So we got to assume sometimes, not take for granted, just how powerful and how bad that thing is. But on the other hand, we also got to know that God's more powerful. He's more in control. And like it said before, God can control that storm. The devil cannot control what God doesn't allow. If you think about the word authority, it comes from the word author. We know from Genesis 1 that God is in the author, is the author of the entire universe, including Satan. Remember, Satan is an angel created by God. Satan is not divine. He is not God's equal. The closest Satan comes to being an author is by twisting what God has done and turning it into sin. And here again, if you wanted to put a tag on him, he's the author of sin and lies. All authority comes from God, and those in position of authority have been placed there by God. I take this to refer to human authority. Now notice what Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to who? Me. Not me. Jesus. Therefore, no authority that God has given has been given to Satan. So any authority that Satan exercises was taken, not given. He is by definition unauthorized. The sad thing is, and teaching in Sunday school, sometime I remembered the fact that when you actually using these things for bait, in order to catch anything, what do you got to do? You don't put a cucumber on here for fish. I got to do this. You don't put okra on here to catch pat. And I had to. I'm a bad person. What you put on here is what's most desirable for what you want to catch. And sometimes it doesn't even have to be a nice whatever. I wanted to get, but I could. It came to me too late, and I didn't, and I don't even know where to get them. Have you ever seen a big old rat trap? I know you've seen a mouse trap. Rat trap. Now, what do you put on that thing? Huh? Now, we've always noted that it was cheese. Now, what's the rat see? I'd be in trouble. He doesn't see that can end his life. Thing coming over like this, usually right behind, the way they laid out, it comes right behind the back of his head, probably kills his spine, he can't breathe, he's dead as a what? Rat. But what we use to catch the rat is something that the rat wants. The devil's a very good at dangling stuff out in front of us. And the other thing I wanted to bring out was the fact that on the next slide, Satan's limited authority. John? Okay. The book of Job gives further insight into the limited nature of Satan's power. Satan came before God with other heavenly beings, Job, and God asked him where he had been. Satan tells him, and God asks if he knows about his servant Job. Satan challenges God, saying that he put a hedge around him and blessed him, and he asked God to take away the hedge, threatening that if he did, Job would curse God to his face. God removes the hedge of blessing around Job's life, but restricts Satan's activity. It is clear from this that Satan could do only what God had given him permission to do and nothing more. Knowing that, would you have wanted in your life what happened to Job? Let me tell you, people, I can't even imagine. Of all the things, he lost some family, the boils, and all this other stuff. And his so-called, what, friends? The sad thing is, one of the things is, and there was an extensive list here. I want to go through some of them. It was so long, I finally just said, et cetera. It is very important to understand who our adversary, the devil, is and what he is able to do. We must be careful not to attribute to him abilities and honors that belong to God and him alone. The Bible says the following about the limitations of the devil. One thing, I know some of y'all don't go back as far as I do, but still you may go far back to remember. Remember when Flip said, the devil made me do it? The truth is, people, the devil can't make you do anything. You got to want to do it. You got to have went after the bait. He's not the opposite of God. It's not like another God that's more evil, good, evil, good. No. Approaches as subordinate. He cannot tempt without God's permission. Cannot influence nature without God's permission. Now, we know God can control. I talked the other day about Jonah. In Jonah, in that book, God even controlled that worm that ate the gourd vine. And I made it a gourd vine, whether it was or not. I like gourds. He cannot physically harm without God's permission. Remember, he did things to Job, but the thing was, he could not kill Job. And that was the next one. Cannot kill without God's permission. He cannot touch at all without God's permission. And this thing went on and on and on and on and on. I didn't have enough paper and printer stuff, so I just said, etc. That does not take away from the fact, people, he can still do very harmful, hurtful, destroy lives, hinder God's progress. It's plumb scary to watch things on TV anymore, to read in the paper anymore, to see the news anymore, and not realize just what it said in 1 Peter 5:8. The devil is running rampant. He is having a field day, people. And if you don't get anything out of spiritual warfare, it should be the fact that regardless of what we think, we may not make the magazines, we may not make the news, but people, we need as an individual to not let the devil have his way with us. We influence people. You might not think so, but we do. Can you think of some ways that the devil in an individual could harm the furtherment of God's kingdom? Exactly. And I agree with you wholeheartedly in the fact that we're each accountable, and we can blame it on other people, we can blame it on the devil, but if we let the devil win over something that we know better, excuse me, people, we do know better. Now, I don't know what a big old bass thinks. Say if we put a toad frog or something like that that he likes for lunch on here. And you'd have to put him on there because I can't. I don't handle toad frogs. Now, me and you know what that is. That'll hurt. I worried about it being in my pocket up here. We can see that. If we had a mouse trap, rat trap, we can see that. Now, I don't know the makeup of a bass because all he sees is what's on there. He doesn't see this. He doesn't even see this. Now, some of them get wary. Maybe they got caught before. I don't know. You've heard me say this before. Sometimes it's very simple. We look at the devil wanting to do major things in our life. And all I can think of, see, I got to leave after this service because I got to go out to the monkey farm for some hours. And I go out of Abercorn. Now, I can almost bet you by the time I get in my car out there and go out there and between here and Walmart, the devil's going to have me thinking things when somebody goes like that or like this, not have their blinker on, or it'd be pouring down bullfrogs, that's an old Southern expression, and no lights on. I'm a bad person in that I let those little things, and the devil's up there yanking my string. I shouldn't let him yank my string, people. Those are little things, huh? Now, I hope some of what I brought out here, one, that we should be aware of the spiritual warfare. But I also wanted to, two ways of showing you the devil can do awful things to us that hurts the furtherment of God's kingdom. But we also have in us the knowledge he only can do in our lives what we allow him to do and what God's allowed him to do. So people, we can't sit there like Flip and say he made me do it. We let him do it. So we've got to take on the responsibility of acknowledging the war, doing our part to not be helping him. He's doing fantastic as he is. He doesn't need my help. And you have to be very careful. I'm glad you said that, because even though I'm not reading all this, it's 3 pages long. And people, this ain't all of it. This is stuff that somebody compiled. Remember copy and paste? I'm not that smart. But every one of what you said, these are positive things in God's word that he's given us to help us in this warfare. We're not in there by ourselves. We got the word. We've got prayer. We've got God himself. We've got Jesus Christ on our side. I once saw a cartoon, and I'd love to have had that thing and saved it somewhere, where there was a tug of war, and these people over here pulling, representing the devil and his henchmen, and over here the spiritual people. But the bad thing for the devil was at the end of this rope over here, God had his finger on the end of the rope. So no matter how hard they pulled over here, that finger didn't let it go. So just remember, people, in the end, there's a summary thing there. Let me do that, John. It says, without God's permission, Satan is not able to do anything. He cannot create or search the human heart. Therefore, the conflict between God and Satan is not really a struggle between two great, equal, and opposing powers, with the outcome still in doubt. All power and authority belongs to God and him alone. And remember, people, go to the back of the book. We win. See that? I done seen this in life. I just hope that that doesn't cause me to, because I have that fear of that thing back there. Have you seen people that, like, they're pulling, because I've come close. You get hung on something, you pull, and that thing, and all it would take, excuse me, people, I don't like that kind of stuff. Me and hooks in skin, my skin, don't go. Scare me to death. But I've seen a kitten do that same thing, and they go crazy. And now, excuse me, they got claws. When you try to grab that kitten to try to get that hook back out, like you said, I've seen it. But just be ever mindful, we are in a spiritual warfare. Let's just do what we can to avoid the devil and give him any help whatsoever. I appreciate y'all being here. I got to go out there for the next so many hours and act like I'm having a great time. Carol, would you mind dismissing us? Thank you.